San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. You can get all these podcasts commercial-free on iymoney.com. We're on iTunes if you search the title of the show. And if you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your device. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire, an accomplished marathon runner, a best-selling author, a lecturer, a philanthropist, and a family office expert advising several high net worth families. Richard, how are you tonight?
Doing great, Joe.
Yeah, great. Happy 4th of July to everybody. All right, we are back with our next segment and guest of It's Your Money and Your Life. We have in studio with us a scuba diving expert and defense industry executive, etc. His name is Bill Powers. Bill, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, right out of the gate, I know the main reason that we even booked you is because you're scheduling a wonderful film event with our good mutual friend Rod Roddenberry. So tell us all about that first, and then we'll get into your bio, et cetera.
Sure. I was talking to Rod a few months ago, and I told him that we usually do something for Comic-Con, whether it be a party or a get-together. He always has a table at Comic-Con for his entertainment business. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't doing a party this year, and I suggested us showing his movie, Trek Nation, which is a documentary featuring him on an exploration to find out who his father was and who the various members of fandom really were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we showed it last year at Qualcomm, and they really loved it as well. But it's going to be – is it open to the public or mostly your diving group?
No, it's open to the public, and I have a link that I think I gave to you for a ticket site. It's going to be at the Museum of Photographic Arts in Balboa Park on July 9th.
Yeah, Thursday, July 9th.
Can they go? We recommend it. He was a great guest on the radio show, too. That's a great documentary.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
So, Bill, would it be – can they find it through powerscuba.org, too, or can they find it on your site?
Oh, they can. It's featured on the front page there.
Okay.
As well, I imagine you're going to put up the link as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But real easy, folks, just powerscuba.org if you want to find out more about that. I think they'll keep it short and sweet, and it'll be easier there. But
sure.
It's going to be the evening of, and probably I think it starts about 6, right? If you can get in there a little early and take a tour of the museum at 4:30 or 5.
Right. The museum's opening itself to us, so we can go around and browse about starting at about 4:30 or 5 o'clock.
That's great.
And then we'll open the theater at about 6 for people to come in.
And then there's a short film, too, before that I think Rod produced as well. You're showing that night, right?
It is. It's his latest film. I think he's been trying to get it on the film festival circuit, called Instant, and it's produced by his production company, Roddenberry Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler Hilton, I think, has a part in that short, and he played the role of Elvis Presley in the great film Walk the Line, if you remember that. And I remember Tyler playing at Lestat's coffee house back in the day. So he's developed quite a good acting and music career for himself. But anyway. So, Bill, I guess you came to San Diego in 1980 with the Navy, right?
I did. I came out here from New York and originally with the Navy as a young raw recruit and decided there weren't many better places and decided to stay here for the rest of my life.
What part of New York are you from?
About 60 miles northwest of New York City in Orange County, right on the Hudson River.
Okay.
Wow. I think David Letterman lives up around there somewhere. Yeah. So. But, a lot of military, I mean, they came through San Diego and they figured when they got back out of the war or whatever, I got to get back to San Diego. And I think we have one of the largest veteran communities in the whole country here, right? How many? About 300,000 or so? Or
I'm not sure of the numbers, but, yeah, I do know this is a preferred place for them to retire.
Yeah, absolutely. So after the Navy, then you settled here. I guess you became a technical training specialist, right, an engineer?
Right. And I started with some smaller defense companies, and I worked my way up. And now I'm working for a big one up in North County.
Okay. Can you divulge what your area of expertise is, or is it the kind of confidential?
It's a little confidential, but okay. I can tell you that it's in the drone department.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was even thinking today on the way over here, you know, they're probably coming up with robotic marine life to engage in warfare. I mean, why sacrifice manpower if, blowing up a robot as opposed to a human, right? I mean,
Exactly. No, they're in talks about it, believe me.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never had any drones on the show, Joe. I could say that with great assurance.
Oh, some people drone on all the time, but not today. So
not on our show.
Yeah, not on our show. But let's see. So then, obviously, you were a diving enthusiast. Did that come later, or was that since early on?
Well, it was with the Navy originally, and I found out about snorkeling in Guantanamo Bay when my ship pulled in there in 1982. Mm. And a couple of years later, I found myself in the Philippines, and as an alternative to going out and partying every night, I decided to take scuba lessons, and I got certified there and went around the Western Pacific afterwards with my ship and did a lot of great diving. Came back here to my home port in San Diego, and although the water was a little bit less visibility, a little bit colder, I found enough to love about it that I kept doing it ever since.
I'm surprised. I guess a lot of guys in the Navy, and gals too, for that matter, are probably getting into diving more so than the average citizen. Is that true or not so much?
Yeah, possibly, and probably because especially the people that are on ships like I was find themselves in so many fantastic places over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're coming up on our second break now, Bill, but we've got a lot more to discuss. We'll be back with Bill Powers from Power Scuba right after this. Hang on. So we've got the best scuba diving organization in San Diego here, and the head of it, the president, Bill Powers, and powerscuba.org if you're interested. So if folks did want to get in, they get on the website, and I know there's a meetup group too. Is that where you originally started, on the meetup site, Bill? Or did you...
That's where the bulk of our operations happen. It's mm-hmm. It's a real user-friendly and admin-friendly site, so we mm-hmm. use that to schedule our events and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you become a Star Trek fan? I'm just curious.
Star Trek fan probably when I was a little kid, back in the 60s, and my dad and I would watch that religiously, in addition to the Jacques Cousteau Undersea Adventures as well.
And Sea Hunt, which we mentioned earlier.
Sea Hunt, yeah. I remember Jacques Cousteau.
And Lloyd Bridges. Yeah, Jacques Cousteau for sure.
And then how'd you meet Rod Roddenberry?
I think it was about 10 years ago. I chartered a dive boat for a trip offshore to the Channel Islands, San Clemente mm-hmm. and Catalina.
Sure.
And he came as a guest of one of my members, or one of my friends. And I think the whole weekend went by. We were diving. And then right towards the end, I mentioned to him that I'd seen his name on the list and that he had a really cool last name. And was he any relation? And he said, I sure am. And he was my dad. And I said, wow, that is very cool.
Uh-huh. Well, he's done quite a bit of diving himself. Now, you've got, over 4,000 dives?
Right.
Or so, something right. like, I saw that one figure somewhere. And now Rod has his group also called Roddenberry Adventures, because he's passionate about diving. So I guess you guys sometimes dive together or sometimes dive separately with groups, right?
Yeah, we started diving a lot after we first met together, and then we created our own separate groups.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of think of them as our brethren, our brother group.
Mm-hmm.
And, and he's branched out, and not only does he have his dive team now, but the Roddenberry Adventures also does land-bound stuff like hiking and overseas mm-hmm. travel, things like that.
But most of your dives are in San Diego County, I would take it, right?
Southern California.
Southern California.
Yeah, we do the oil rigs off of Long Beach quite a bit, and
really?
A lot of the Channel Islands as well.
A typical dive would take how long and go how deep and all that?
Really variable, but generally speaking, 45 minutes to an hour long for each dive, maybe depths of 50 to 100 feet.
Huh. And oil rigs. Why do you want to dive around oil rigs?
Well, it's amazing, but the architecture, the underwater structure there draws fish like you wouldn't believe, and it becomes a veritable artificial reef. And so out there right in the middle of the ocean, you tend to get more fish congregating, and it's a real great treasure trove of fish life.
So huh. you've been diving for about 30 years. What changes have you seen in the water in Southern California in terms of marine life and so on?
Well, I hate to say it,
I mean, has the ocean water temperature increase a cause for concern?
It seems to vary. I mean, some years it'll increase, then some years it'll go down. Certainly we took a hit last year mm-hmm. when the water temperature increased by a few degrees, and then there goes a lot of our kelp mm-hmm. throughout California
right.
and elsewhere. But it's coming back. We've seen it coming back now, and the fish life that comes with it comes back as well.
Hmm. Now, you also are an instructor. I guess if someone wanted to become a diving instructor, you could train people to do that? Or
that's correct. I keep those endeavors separate from Power Scuba, but I am an instructor, and mm-hmm. I teach part-time, kind of my beer money, so to speak.
And then also, I guess in March of 2014, you had one of your finest moments. I'm seeing here that you saved someone's life. You want to describe that?
Sure. It was a typical dive charter boat. We had about 30 people. We chartered out one of the vessels here in San Diego and drove us to San Clemente overnight. And we woke up in the morning, had breakfast, and started to gear up and jump in off the island. And one of the first few people that went in, I was up forward gearing up, and that person jumps in apparently, and the dive crew didn't like what they saw when they saw her go in. And so they started shouting that she was in trouble and going down. And so I sent some people down after her to ascertain if she really was in trouble or not. And as luck would have it, even before those people reached her, there were some people on the bottom already. And the clarity, the visibility was really good. They saw her come down like a rag doll, they described. And
she passed out before she even hit the water?
Yeah, she did. Apparently, from what we can surmise, she went in unprepared, maybe with no air in her buoyancy device, maybe overweighted, we're not sure. But at one point, she drowned on the way down. And so they found her lifeless on the bottom and jammed her back up to the surface. We pulled her back on the boat as quick as we could, and I did CPR, and we were, thank the heavens, we were able to bring her back.
And she's doing well today, huh?
She's doing well today and back on the job.
Wow, that's great.
Does she still die?
She's slowly getting back into it. She's affirmed that she's going to take a lot more training, which I think is a good thing, and then get back into it at some point.
How much training should somebody take?
Well, an open water course is anywhere between 25 and 50 hours worth of instruction.
Well, I was telling the story earlier. I think I just read in the paper that some family was having dinner, I believe, at Anthony's Fish Grotto or one of the, those places right on the harbor downtown. And the little boy at their in their party told the waiter, he's look at that seal out there, you know, bobbing up and down. And goes, that's no seal. That's it. There's a guy drowning.
Oh, good Lord.
The waiter, I think he tore off his shirt and shoes and dove in and saved this guy. So that's a miraculous thing. Good thing that little boy spotted it.
Oh, that's terrific.
But water safety is a big concern, especially in the summer when pools get loaded up with kids and whatnot. But what can you tell people? I guess they just have to be vigilant and well trained and looking for kids in trouble, right?
Well, absolutely. And safety is a big part of what we do at Power Scuba. And it starts with the training, certainly, but then afterwards it becomes a lot of your own personal responsibility, because God knows most people get the proper training, but then whether or not they choose to follow it or not is a different thing. So there's really, when it comes right down to it, not that many major safety cornerstones or tenets that you have to follow in scuba diving.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't follow it, then it certainly can be very unforgiving.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a little break right here again, though. Bill, we'll come right back with Bill Powers of Power Scuba right after this short announcement. All right. Happy 4th of July. We're back with Bill Powers of Power Scuba, who's here. Actually, he's going to be promoting a great film event with Rod Roddenberry of Star Trek fame, July 9th at MOPA. So get on powerscuba.org if you want to find out how to get in. The tickets are this blood-curdling price of $7, if that is the most reasonable.
$7 for Trek Nation?
And Rod will be
there.
Should
make a donation, too.
Yeah, and Rod will be there, by the way, for Q&A. Who's going to conduct that? Will that be you, Bill? Or?
I'm going to introduce, and then he'll take it from there. And
okay.
He's bringing a lot of stuff to give away, most notable of which is a Klingon batleth, if that means anything to you.
All right.
Star Trek swag, all right. But anyway, you wanted
where would you put that in your house? But anyway.
Oh, up on the wall. Exactly. Place of honor.
But you wanted to further address Richard's question about marine life changes.
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk. You know, I live on the beach, so we've been seeing, for example, sea lions wash up in numbers that we've never seen before. But what are you seeing out there?
Well,
it's the lack of food, right, I guess?
Well, the sea lion die-off is kind of strange, but it's a cyclic from what I understand.
Okay.
And it's the babies. And we first started noticing it when they'd come up onto the swim steps of our dive boats, which is not a normal thing, and they just want to hang out there and have a rest and a breather. And there's a couple schools of thought as to why it's happening, but one of the schools is that water's warmer, fish have to go down deeper, and then the mothers have to go out further and deeper in order to catch the fish, leaving the babies unattended. And so that's the one that I would probably go with.
Mm-hmm. Now, the odor issue in La Jolla Cove, it's still bad. Now, look, we all love the harbor seals down in the children's pool. We don't want to touch them. Obviously, there's a pupping season. But the distinction is, they just do that part of the year. The sea lions over toward the cove, which the population, I guess, has been growing 3% per year for like the last 15 or 20 years.
It seems to really be exploding lately.
Up and down the whole coast. It's not just San Diego. But, the stench is pretty bad. And You know, Mayor Fellner, whatever you think of him, he did.
That would be ex-Mayor Fellner,
right. Well,
Joe,
well,
just
still,
to clarify.
Well, once you're mayor, they call you like President Clinton is still
him.
President Clinton. But anyway, he did address it with this antimicrobial spray, and it did seem to temporarily help. I guess they would just have to maintain that program. I don't know why all those businesses can't get together and maybe collaborate with the state, city, and maybe even federal money and pitch in and use that. Apparently, it's a very safe and effective method, don't you think? Or
yeah, that sounds like a good idea to me, as long as it's not the runoff is not going into the water or affecting the water adversely. I mean, we dive a lot there at the Cove.
And yeah.
When it's on, when the visibility is on, that's one of the better diving places mm-hmm. in Southern California right there. You've got all the sharks, the tope sharks and the seven gills, mm-hmm. lots to see and do there.
But, I mean, that antimicrobial substance, apparently it just neutralizes it. I don't think it would cause a pollution problem into the water, but anyway, I hope they do get it figured out, because it's such a beautiful place, and to have that be a factor as far as tourism or anybody visiting, and even the people who have to live and work around there, I mean, it's not pleasant. So,
sure.
So
is it true you were a shark dive master? And if so, could you explain what that is?
I was. I worked for an outfit out of Catalina, Avalon, back in the 90s for a short while, and actually got my dive master certification there before I became an instructor.
But what does that mean?
A dive master is a person who can run boat trips and conduct limited amounts of training, things like that. And as soon as I got my dive master cert, the shop that certified me hired me on as a shark dive master for a mm-hmm. short period. So basically you go out and 10, 12 miles off the coast, and this was off Catalina, and you chum up the water a little bit, and you have a cage in the water, and it's off to the side and down from the boat a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so the dive master job mostly is to ferry customers after they get into the water, and then they scuba dive down into the cage. And you put them in the cage safe and sound. You stay on the outside, and you call the sharks up.
Hmm. Wait a minute. You stay outside the cage while the sharks are coming?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. What is the largest shark you've seen?
Is the career expectancy shorter than an NFL running back?
We, it kind of ties in with what you're asking before about the fish populations mm-hmm. and what I've seen over the years. But back then, in the 90s, there were quite a few. You could always be guaranteed of blues and an occasional mako mm-hmm. when you go out doing a shark dive. These days, not so much. They're bouncing back a little bit, but there was about a decade or even more where they virtually vanished. And a lot of us think that it had something to do with the Chinese shark finning mm-hmm. that occurred mm-hmm. so much. But
yeah.
There's still a couple shark outfits here in San Diego that do that, and they tend to have a good time.
Well, we've all seen that horrible documentary. It was a good documentary about that horrible fishing by the Cove. You know, is that still going on quite a bit, or are we getting some kind of some regulation?
Oh, the Oscar winner?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, Powerscuba did an event for that about 4 years ago, again with Roddenberry Entertainment, and we showed it at the Birch Theater.
Disturbing, isn't it?
It really, really yeah. disturbing. And the most disturbing thing is with all the attention that got, and it's still going on today.
Yeah, I don't. Is it they eat them and market them? I know the fin, the shark. They just want the fin, and they throw the sharks back in the water. I mean, without
right.
their fins, which is I think
the
horrible.
Dolphins. I think they tried purposing out the meat to schools and things until they found out that it had high levels of mercury in it.
Hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a sad situation.
Well,
yeah.
hopefully they're getting that better, because the everyone thinks that we've wiped out 90% of the big fish in the last 50 years. Is that correct?
Well, I've heard tell that some people are predicting that the last bluefin tuna is going to be caught in 2050.
Wow.
It's really sad. Well, hopefully they'll get some major conservation movements going on that. So
yeah, and I'm proud that California passed the shark fin ban bill here that went into full effect last year. So no more shark fin in California, at least.
Well, that's good. Now, we have got a couple of sunken ships right off the coast of San Diego
sure.
here, right? And
mm-hmm.
you get down there many off of Mission Beach, right?
Yeah, that's those are some of the go-to sites when we take our people out and when other scuba divers go out. The Yukon, mm-hmm. which is the Canadian destroyer that was sunk as an artificial reef about mm-hmm. 2 miles off Mission Beach.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the gem. That's the best one in California,
hmm.
offshore.
Huh.
But we've got some others as well. The Ruby E, a Coast Guard cutter, not too far from the Yukon. And then down by the U.S.-Mexican border in 130 feet of water, there's the USS Hogan that was sunk maybe 50, 55 years ago is for naval gunfire support practice.
Huh. Didn't know about that one. Interesting. Let's see. So I know we had the Titanic down there. We filmed that in Mexico, too, but I don't know what they did.
I think they still got the deep water tank down there, too.
Did they sink? Was that a, I don't know, how big was the model? I never got down there to see it.
I don't know. They had some kind of a basin, and then they had all their mock-ups and things inside the basin.
I mean, obviously, the ship wasn't true to size, but
right.
but pretty darn good special effects. It only made the most money in history there. I don't know if it's still number one, but it made
You mean the late version with DiCaprio?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, like $1.8 billion or some crazy. I think it's like it's in the top three now for sure. But anyway, it's one of the highest grossing films of all time. But there you have it. So let's see.
So does your charitable organization support political causes that surround the ocean and safety?
We don't support political candidates, that's okay. For sure, because we can't as a
right.
nonprofit.
Right.
But we do advocate for certain stances on
policies.
Issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And probably the most notable of which is when we advocated very heavily for the creation of the marine preservation marine protected areas mm-hmm. here off the coast of San Diego, and that went through, and they created a whole bunch. There's the largest one is in Encinitas,
right? But it's in Encinitas, yeah.
Right? But
I live up there.
There's some others up and down the coast, and it remains to be seen what the efficacy is, because they, you know, in addition to creating those, then they have to really have a really good system of monitoring mm-hmm. them and seeing what the result really is.
Do you have any concern about the desal plant up there in the brine and how it might affect the marine life in the vicinity? Do you have any thoughts on that, or we got to wait and see?
No, I think that's a wait-and-see issue.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Let's see here. So you're co-chair of American Cancer Society Relay for Life. I see you've done a lot of – and then your Surfrider Foundation. I guess you collaborate with them on certain things, right?
At one point, I was supporting them just as a member and an mm-hmm. attendee. Not too much anymore since I created Parascuba, because that's mm-hmm. a handful all by itself.
Mm-hmm. But how many people in your organization? I know you're pretty big, right?
Yeah, we have about 2,800 members, give
oh,
or
wow.
take.
And founded only in 2008, right? So only about 7 years ago?
Right, a little under 7 years. And something resonated. I belonged to some dive clubs before that. And they all charged dues, and they were all underattended, and they all had meetings in the back of some rundown bar with speakers that nobody wanted to listen to. So I said, you know, why not create a group that's dedicated just to diving? And so I did, and thought we could throw in some environmental issues in there as well,
mm-hmm.
and didn't charge any dues. You know, I already had a good job, so I didn't need the money or anything like that. So I put it out there, and
a lot of response.
Yeah, it resonated with people.
Well, I had a friend in the NFL, and he used to dive just for the therapy of it, and maybe a lot of vets with PTSD, that might be in a group you can go after. Who knows?
They have several groups that do that for wounded warriors. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Bill Powers, thanks so much for being our guest. Get over to powerscuba.org to find out about the screening July 9th with Rod Roddenberry. And thanks to Austin Buettner for being on the show. Richard, always great seeing you. Justin Hart on the board, thanks for making us sound good. Thanks to Craig Blanke, our co-executive, and Dave Sniff, our programming genius.
Everybody here. Be careful with the fireworks.
Yes, and have a happy 4th of July. All these podcasts are on iymoney.com, and you have a great week. Bye-bye now.